Let's pray together to ask the Lord's blessing upon His Word. Our Father in Heaven, Your Word is a powerful two-edged sword that is able to pierce through bone and marrow, through our flesh, and pierce our hearts. And this is what we long for, our dear Father, to be penetrated by Your Word and changed and transformed to become like Jesus Christ. We pray that You would break down our defenses. Come into our lives as You understand and know that we need. And bless the preaching of Your Word in our presence as we've gathered here this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. Begin reading in chapter 3 at verse 4, reading through verse 21. The text will be verses 16 through 21. This is the word of the Lord. Then he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house." Moreover, he said to me, "Son of man, receive into your heart all my words that I speak to you, and hear with your ears. And go, get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them and tell them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' whether they hear or whether they refuse." Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice, "Blessed is the glory of the Lord from His place." I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous noise. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to the captives at Tel Abib, who dwelt by the river Kibar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul." Thus far the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Please turn with me also in the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 85, Belgic Confession, Articles 31 and 32. This is our confession, a faithful summary of the teaching of Scripture with respect to the offices of the church and the office bearers of the church. Page 85, beginning there at Article 31 of the Belgic Confession. Congregation, we believe that the ministers of God's Word, the elders and the deacons, ought to be chosen to their respective offices by a lawful election by the church, with calling upon the name of the Lord, and in that order which the Word of God teaches. Therefore, every one must take heed not to intrude himself by improper means, but is bound to wait till it shall please God to call him, that he may have testimony of his calling, and be certain and assured that it is of the Lord. As for the ministers of God's Word, they have equally the same power and authority wheresoever they are, as they are all ministers of Christ, the only universal bishop and the only head of the church. Moreover, in order that this holy ordinance of God may not be violated or slighted, we say that everyone ought to esteem the ministers of God's Word and the elders of the church very highly for their work's sake, and be at peace with them without murmuring, strife, or contention as much as possible. Then Article 32. In the meantime, we believe, though it is useful and beneficial that those who are rulers of the church institute and establish certain ordinances among themselves for maintaining the body of the church, yet that they ought studiously to take care that they do not depart from those things which Christ, our only Master, has instituted. And therefore we reject all human inventions and all laws which man would introduce into the worship of God, thereby to bind and compel the conscience in any matter whatever. Therefore we admit only of that which tends to nourish and preserve concord and unity, and to keep all men in obedience to God. For this purpose, excommunication or church discipline is requisite with all that pertains to it, according to the Word of God. Let's turn together to number 59 in our Psalter hymnals. Number 59, we'll sing stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5, and let's stand together to sing. congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We like warnings when it comes to weather, don't we? We like to know if a winter storm is going to come through or a torrential rain. We like to know if it's going to be 30 below overnight so we can plug our cars in. We like warnings about the weather. It struck me when the events of Hurricane Katrina were happening that the weather system was able to warn people weeks, days beforehand to tell them the storm was coming, to board up their houses, pack up their belongings, and flee the area lest they fall under some destruction. And for those who heeded those warnings, they were spared. They were able to get out of that area in time. They may have lost their homes, but they kept their lives. We like warnings when it comes to weather. We like warnings when it comes to faith and to church life as well. Our gracious Lord has placed a warning system in His church. He's placed watchmen over the church. Those watchmen are the ministers of the Word, the elders, the deacons, the office bearers. And He has placed them there because of His mercy, because of His kindness, because of His love for the church. Those office bearers are entrusted with the Word of God. He speaks it to them, gives it to them, that they may minister to His people with His Word. And so they must take that Word that they are entrusted with, and they must come to the people of God, and they must issue warnings when necessary. They must speak that Word as it has been entrusted to them. They must warn the wicked with that Word, those who go wayward, those who stray from the path. But they also must warn the righteous, because even the righteous are not perfect. Even the righteous stray from time to time and need to be called back. Ezekiel was called as such a watchman, but that indeed applies to office bearers for us today. Now we should note, first of all, these circumstances that we find Ezekiel in, beginning parts of chapter 3 that we read. Here is Ezekiel, a prophet who is called to minister to the exiles, and prophets are not popular at all in this time. The people have been punished, and they don't want to hear a word from the Lord, and certainly not from a prophet. And yet he is called to go to God's people and bring them a word, His Word. But as he gets to the threshold of his ministry, he finds out that he's entirely overwhelmed. Here is a man who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who has talked with God, who God has entrusted His Word with him. He's been empowered to do it. And yet as he comes to the beginning of that ministry in Tel Aviv, he stays there with those who are there for 7 days because he's overwhelmed. But second of all, I want you to note why he waits. What is his reason for waiting? It's not because he's tired. His primary reason for waiting there at Tel Aviv is because he doesn't know yet what to say. The Lord has not spoken to him. Until he has received word from the Lord, he cannot carry out his mission. He cannot carry out his task. He must have the Word, because it is the Word of God that the people need to hear, that they must hear. And so God sends His prophet, His Word bearer, to His people once again. And you have to picture here, as Ezekiel is called to be a watchman, you have to picture in your minds a great city. And that city is covered with soldiers in and out, walking about from their barracks, around the walls. And these walls, these great thick fortified walls, are all around the city. Imagine if you can that the perimeter highway wasn't a highway, but it was a wall surrounding the entire city for protection. And garrisons of soldiers would walk on top of those walls and behind those walls for the protection of the citizens of that city. And there would be gates at certain entrances of the city that would be fortified with iron, thick wood, again, for protection. And high atop those walls, they would build watchtowers. Because attacks of those days from other nations were very common, especially at night. They had to be careful. They had to watch. Because an enemy could sweep across the land and come to lay siege on that city at any moment, without warning. And so in those towers, they would place watchmen. And it would be their responsibility to watch. To look outside the walls of the city and gaze out into the plains before them, just in case an enemy would approach. And if they saw the enemy coming and the dust clouds rising from the war, from the battle, from the armies, they had to call out a warning. To get the soldiers ready, to get them to bear arms, because that nation was coming to lay siege. If they failed to warn, they fell asleep at their post, or didn't call out a warning, and the nation came in and swept through the city and destroyed the people, the blood would be on the hands and the head of those watchmen. That's how responsible they were in their duty, how high of a calling they had. Ezekiel is called to be such a watchman. But his calling here is a general calling as well for office bearers. Office bearers who are entrusted with God's word, who must go to you, the people of God, and bring the person and work of Jesus Christ to bear on your lives, to call out a warning when necessary. What they're charged with is discipling. Discipling. Now, discipling involves teaching, educating, instructing, encouraging. It also involves admonition. See, we like to think of discipline far too often in negative terms. That discipline is a bad thing. When we hear about church discipline, we think of excommunication. We think of barring people from the table. But discipling is full of grace. It's full of grace. It's God's gracious act to us to further instruct us for our benefit and for His glory. It isn't punishment. It's a privilege, a blessing that we have, that our God cares so much for us that He would make us His disciples and teach us and encourage us and build us up. You see, when God sent Ezekiel to the people, it wasn't to punish them. He sent Ezekiel because He wanted to call the people back to Himself. This is an act of grace, a glorious blessing. He could have left the people where they were. They knew the law. They knew the prophets that they had heard before. They heard Elijah and Elisha. And they're being punished now by being put under oppression by another nation. But God will not abandon them or leave them there, because our God does not abandon His people or His promises. And so He sends His word bearer to reclaim the people for His own, to say to them again that He is their God and that they are His people. Now, your minister obviously does this kind of work and this kind of activity in the most obvious way, because he preaches. He preaches the Word of God to you week by week. And when he visits you in your homes, and when he teaches you and teaches your children, he does so with the Word of God. He preaches Christ. That's why we call it a means of grace. It's a way that God communicates His salvation and His grace to us through His Word. But your elders and your deacons are also involved in this work. Not in preaching, but in bringing the Word. That's what family visiting is all about. That's why catechism is so important in Sunday school. And your elders come to you and they look to find spiritual growth in your families. And they come to instruct you further in sanctification, to give you further instruction about your justification, your salvation in Jesus Christ, and the wonder and the joy of the Christian life. And your deacons come to you and they present service opportunities for you, and they minister to your needs. They are involved in this work as well. But the office bearers are not cops. The office bearers are not skulking around the church and around your families, looking for the petty sins that they can pounce on. And they're not firefighters either. They don't look around the church simply looking for the fires of controversy and fires of issues and fires of problems, simply putting out the fires one by one, so that on the outside the church looks like everything is going well. Their responsibility and their calling and their task is much higher than that. No, they're the messengers. They're the messengers of God's Word when they come to you to bring that Word of grace into your families, into your homes, and into the life of this church. Now, the first particular audience that Ezekiel tells us about is the wicked. The wicked. We hear about this in verses 18 and 19. The Lord says to Ezekiel, "When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." Two case scenarios here, one in verse 18, one in verse 19. The first scenario is the wicked who does wicked things but is not warned. And he dies for his wickedness, but the watchman dies too. And the blood is on his hands. And the second scenario, in verse 19, the wicked does wicked things, but the watchman warns. And so the wicked perishes in his wickedness, but the watchman delivers his soul. What we should notice here, though, is that Ezekiel is not charged with the salvation of the wicked. He's not charged with their salvation because only the Lord is the judge. Only the Lord knows what is in the hearts of any one person. Neither Ezekiel nor office bearers have cardioanalytic ability, we might say. They cannot see into our hearts. They cannot perceive what is there. And so the call to Ezekiel and to office bearers is always to warn. Not to assess who deserves to be warned and who does not deserve to be warned. Not to discern who is truly wicked and who is righteous. Because those things belong to God. But the call is to warn. To always warn. And to warn repetitively if necessary. Until that message gets across to that person. Till the gospel gets to that person, whether it penetrates or not. And then to pray and leave the work to the Holy Spirit. This is a call to a wicked people to repentance so that God can show more mercy. That God can show His grace. That God takes another opportunity to capture somebody who has gone away from Him and has stiff-armed Him. That through the minister, through the office bearers of His church, He might recapture that person. I want to make this very concrete for you today. Do you know what's at stake when the elders come to you? And they say, "Why aren't you in church? Or why aren't you worshiping with the people of the Lord? Or why aren't you acting and behaving like a couple in the Lord, like a family in the Lord?" Or if the deacons come to you to talk to you about your giving, or about your involvement in the ministry and the activities of the church, do you know what's at stake? Because so often they get looked on as the bad guys. Because they have to make the repentance calls. They have to make what are sometimes called discipline calls. And they get a bad rep. But everybody needs to hear the word no sometimes. No, you cannot live that way. Do you understand what their calling is? that they are up there on the watchtowers, on the walls of this church, and on the walls of your families, and on the walls of your hearts. And as they look out on the plains of this world, they can see Satan and his army and the world and evil coming. And the enemy is coming to wipe you out, because he wants to see the church destroyed. And the office bearers have the high task and responsibility to call out a warning, to say, bear your arms. Get ready for battle, because war is upon you. If you are not ready, the enemy will take you out. God has placed those watchmen over the church for your protection, to keep you in His care, to keep you in His power. It's not about putting you under their thumb. It's not about making sure the ducks are in a row, that all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. It's about protection against our mortal enemy. That's their high calling. That's what they're involved in. Our God is not a God who abandons His people, but He calls out to all of us, sinful as we are. And He says, repent. And He shows us His grace. And He cares for the lost. And He sent Jesus Christ, who stands out not only as our Savior, but as the clearest warning for us. Jesus Christ, who came, and what were His first words of ministry? Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It was a call to Israel first and a call to the Gentiles. Repent and believe. Come and bow down before this God. And He shed His blood to do it, to accomplish it, to make salvation possible. John 20:31 says of God's Word, these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. That's discipling. Instruction from the Word. That's why we need to hear about Jesus Christ. That's why family visiting is important. That's why education at church, in Sunday school and catechism and Bible studies is important. To hear again about Jesus Christ and His standing out as a call, a warning, an important message of repentance. Another audience that Ezekiel is called to speak to here is the righteous. Verses 20 and 21 of our text. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took warning. Also you will have delivered your soul. Again, we have two case scenarios. One where a warning is given and one where a warning is not given. But why warn the righteous? Don't we believe and we confess in the perseverance of the saints. So why warn the righteous? Well, partly maybe it's a misunderstanding of, again, of what discipling is. This is the teaching, the educating, the encouraging part of discipling. Bringing the Word of God to those who know it, who hear it, who live in the grace of God, but continue to need instruction. You see, God cares about how we live. The way we live doesn't do anything for our salvation. The way we live comes out of our salvation. A life of gratitude. A life of being thankful for what God has done for our salvation. But He cares about the way we live. He calls us to repentance and faith, but He calls us to godly living. And He does so through His Word. But we've not arrived, have we? We're not there yet. None of us are fully sanctified. We need that instruction. We need that continual guidance and care for the Christian life, because all of us fall short. And we can't measure up to what God has asked us to do. And only by His Spirit can we do any good at all. And so, this is about going after the one sheep who's gone astray, leaving the 99 and going after the one. This is about going after those who go astray for a time and need to be called back. This is about continuing to instruct all of us as the office bearers are engaged in doing. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that the gospel is the aroma of life unto life and death unto death. That again, you have to call and warn everybody. Not make discernment about who should be warned and who should not be warned. This righteous person, says Calvin, is an outwardly righteous person. Particularly the righteous person that is mentioned in verse 20, the one who falls away. This is the one who is of Israel, but not of Israel. And he will have a stumbling block put in front of him. Now this stumbling block, this stumbling block is anything that is put in the path of anybody that causes them to fall away. Causes them to fall away. That's why it's important that Calvin says this is an outwardly righteous person. The gospel hasn't fully penetrated their heart. They haven't been totally changed. Somebody can sit in church their whole life and never really be changed. And when a stumbling block comes in their path, they fall away. And it could be anything. This stumbling block could be a discipline call. It could be a job promotion. It's anything that comes in the path of this person that causes them to lose their faith. But the responsibility of Ezekiel, the responsibility of the office bearers, is to warn about that stumbling block. And say to that person, there is a stumbling block in your path. If you do not recognize it, if you do not take notice of it, if you are not careful, it will cause you to fall away. But that stumbling block is the work of God. It is not in the hands of the office bearers. It is not in the hands of Ezekiel. They cannot remove it. They must only warn. But they must warn. If they are silent and that righteous person falls away, the blood is on their hands. So they must speak a word of warning. By way of application, I want to speak to the men tonight. And to the boys. And to the young men. And I want you to hear two things particularly from Ezekiel tonight. The first is this. Train yourself now. Train yourself now to be a watchman. Get to know the Word of God and know it well. Let it be on your heart forever. And know the confessions of this church. Train yourselves now, because you don't know, as young as you might be, you do not know if Christ will call you to this kind of service in His church. You do not know if God would deign to have you be a watchman. And if He calls you, you will be called upon to warn. You will be called upon to issue word of warning. God's word of warning. And you cannot shirk that responsibility. You cannot be silent when you are called upon to give warning. And you will be called upon to give instruction and lead with a godly life. Train yourselves now. But I also want you to hear this tonight. Do not be so quick to go into office either. Because you will be called upon to warn, to make the tough discipline calls, to be a man of prayer for the church, to be a man of the Word. Paul says to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verse 26 and 27, He says, I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Office bearers, that is what you are called to bring. The whole counsel of God, and do it without shame. Do it with boldness and courage, and to do it faithfully. So men of this congregation, young men and boys, do not be so quick to go into office. And to all of you tonight, to all of you, pray for your office bearers. Pray for them. Keep them in your thoughts and in your prayers always, because of the high responsibility that they hold. Because each and every one of them will say, throughout their entire time serving in that capacity, who is sufficient for these things? Because they are men too. Pray that they will have the strength to carry out the duties of their office, that God will be with them to empower them to do this work of protecting His church. And follow their lead. Follow where they lead. Because Christ is directing them. Christ is calling them to this. And you show them respect and honor when you follow their lead and submit to them. And be joyful when they call on you for family visiting. Be joyful when they want to instruct you and desire to give you further encouragement in the Christian life. Because we all need it. We all need that encouragement and instruction. We are very thankful for warnings when it comes to weather, because it prepares us for what's coming. Let us be very thankful as well for warnings in the church, for the work of our office bearers, our minister, our elders, our deacons. Because they prepare us for what's coming at us too. Praise be to God that He cares for His church so much to give us such watchmen for our protection. Amen.